words we'll be singing about. But could you turn in your Bibles once again to that portion we read in Psalm 102? And you'll find our text this evening in verse 20 primarily, but also in verse 19. Verse 19 and especially verse 20. And we read there, "For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death." Let's once again come before the Lord in prayer as we have his word open before us. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before thee once again thankful that we have thy inspired word in our possession. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast given us this record of what thou dost require of us, of instructions given for us, of examples for our own benefit. And O Heavenly Father, we pray that thou would speak to us from thy word. O thou hast said that thy word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. O wilt thou not show that to be a reality this evening? Wilt thou not convict souls of their need of salvation? Wilt thou not speak to men and women and young people alike that they need to be saved? Use thy word. Oh, may we know it is a living word. May we all be like Samuel of old and cry out, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." O Lord, be with us, we ask. Fill us all with thy Holy Spirit. Give help, we pray, and bring glory and honor to thy name, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. In this past week or so, a subject which has been very much in many of our minds and especially brought to us in the news is the subject of prisons. Prisons has been on the TV almost every day this week. I was out for a walk one day and I was heading back towards my house and one of my neighbors came out the door and she said to me, "Oh, I was watching TV and I saw this program about Magabri Prison." And she said, "Well, it's not something that really brought me much joy. It wasn't really bedtime TV because it was a harrowing scene that was portrayed. There were these prisoners and they're locked up and there's so many there and they have no hope. They're in there for crimes that they've committed, some of them for a long time." Then whenever you switch on your TV or read your newspaper, you're confronted with this news about this man who escaped from prison in London. This man called Daniel Caliph, how he made a daring escape from Wandsworth Prison on Wednesday morning. It's almost Hollywood stuff when you hear of what he did to escape from the prison. There he was in his work detail in the kitchen and he escaped through the door and managed to hide underneath the truck and strap himself to the undercarriage of the truck and go all the way out the gates of the prison and he thought he was free. But then yesterday we heard news that he'd been captured once again and he'd been brought back into prison. There was that man who he thought he had found an escape from the crime which he was accused of committing. But he didn't find an escape. He was incarcerated in prison, and he will be charged for that crime which he has been accused of. And it's no wonder that he wanted to escape from that prison. Because when you hear other people who have been in Wandsworth Prison, they say it's a horrible place to be. Some of them have complained that they go without any sunlight for almost a week, held in their prison cell day after day after day. Some of them say there is very little by the way of sanitation. There is much violence. And then over the heads of all those prisoners, there is the penalty for their crime, which they have to pay. And it's a horrible place to be. But you know, the Word of God, it shows us that there is a worse form of imprisonment. Because in this portion that we have before us, we read of other prisoners which God's word speaks of in verse 20 of Psalm 102. For in verse 20, we read these words, "To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Now, this verse is not speaking of prisons in our earthly setting. It's not speaking of men or women who are bound by hand or bound by legs in shackles. This is speaking of spiritual prisoners. This is speaking of those who have committed spiritual crimes. This isn't speaking of some prison like Wandsworth Prison or any other prison or internment camp on earth. Well, this is a far worse form of imprisonment, because the prisoners spoken of here are prisoners to sin and to Satan. Oh, you see, sin enslaves men and women. If you are still in sin, if you have not come to Christ for forgiveness for sin, you are in bondage. That's a word I'm sure you've heard many a time from this pulpit. Bondage and bondage of sin. It simply means that one is in servitude to, one is enslaved by. And so the sinner, they are slaves and they are imprisoned in this state. Well, they can't break free. Now, there was Daniel Caliph. He thought he'd broken free. But you know, the sinner, they cannot break free of their chains by themselves. They're unable to. There is that inability within natural man to break free from those chains which hold them. And there is a terrible lot which awaits those who are in prison in this form. Our verse says, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Now, these aren't just any prisoners. These aren't those who you might hear going to prison for a few months and then they're let out. This is not speaking of prisoners who are given an early release for good behavior. No, this is a death sentence. And so before us we have prisoners who are likened to those on death row. People without any hope. People who have no hope of deliverance, no hope of escape. They're sentenced to death. And you know, sinners, they have that same fate waiting for them. And the state that they are in, there is no hope for them. Unless they come to Christ. And so I want you to consider with me through this text before us, deliverance from death row. Because in verse 19 and 20, we see of how one can be delivered from death row. Although here on earth there is no hope of escaping that sentence, yet there is deliverance to be found in Christ. And I want you to consider first of all with me the sentence against the prisoner. Because in this psalm, in verse 20, we see that there is a sentence that has been declared against the prisoner. For here the psalmist says that those who are these prisoners, they are appointed to death. There is that sentence, there is that declaration that has been made against these prisoners for the crimes they have committed. They're sentenced to death. Well, a heavier penalty could not have been declared to them. It is not life in prison. It is not 5 years or 10 years. It is death. Here are people who have committed crimes worthy of death. These people are sitting on death row. They're as good as dead already. That's why it's called death row. They're simply sitting there waiting for the executioner to come and to kill them. Well, do you know, that is exactly how the sinner is tonight. They have a death sentence against them and they're simply waiting for that penalty to be enacted. That evidence has been brought against them. They've been convicted and they've been sentenced to death. And the sinner is in that same state because the sinner has been convicted by God himself. He has declared in his word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, there is a sentence against the sinner. You know, those who are living in sin, they are likened unto a prisoner who is bound in chains. They are enslaved to sin. They have no hope of life, but they are spiritually dead. Doesn't Paul say in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 that those in sin are dead in trespasses and sin? Well, you know, the law of God, it condemns man. The law of God, the law that God has given to us, it shows man how he has fallen before the Almighty. And it shows that they have sinned, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whenever you have disobeyed, you know there must be punishment. If you disobey your parent or your teacher or your employer, you know if you disobey them, there's going to be punishment for what you've done. And God is no different to that. Those who disobey Him, they must be punished. God is righteous and holy and just in all His ways. He must punish sin. And because God is infinite and eternal, the punishment must match that. It must be an eternal punishment. It must be an infinite punishment. It must be a punishment that casts that soul into hell forever. But you notice in our verse before us in Psalm 102, that phrase, appointed to death, that could more literally mean sons or children of death. It's those who, from their birth, they have been earmarked for this end. Here are a people before us who, right from their earliest days, they've been heading one direction. How that reminds us of the sinner. Didn't David the psalmist say that in sin did my mother conceive me? He knew right from his earliest days he was a sinner before God. He knew that he was a son or a child of death. When every single person who has come into this world is a child of death. Because we read in the book of Romans in chapter 5 and the verse 18, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By the offense of one. Our forefathers sinned in the Garden of Eden, and therefore Paul says there that judgment came upon all. Every single one of us is under God's judgment. Every single person who has ever lived and ever will live is under God's judgment. That word judgment, it has a legal sense behind it. It speaks of one who has been studied and examined, and they have been looked into, and it's been found that they have been guilty. All are guilty of breaking God's law. But we're judged unto condemnation. Because God, as I have said, he must punish sin. And those who are found guilty of sin, they are worthy of death. Well, the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death. That is the sentence that lies against the sinner. That is the sentence that is declared against every single person who has ever lived who has not come to Christ in faith. Was a far worse fate than Daniel Caliph could face in that panel he'll have to go before when he returns to prison. Because the Word of God says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Far greater judge. One who will pronounce a most terrible sentence upon you if you don't come to faith in Christ. And you might say, well, that seems so harsh to me. Why would I be sentenced to that? I don't have the sentence against me. Oh, God is so unfair. Oh, He's not. He is just. He is right. He is pure in everything that He does. And if you turn over a few pages to Psalm 107, you'll see exactly why prisoners are in this state of judgment. For in Psalm 107 and verses 10 and 11, we see why such a sentence is given. Psalm 107, verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Sinners are bound. Sinners are in the shadow of death because they have rebelled. Rebelled against God, rebelled against His Word, and therefore God is just and right in this sentence that He declares over sinners. Oh, what a terrible sentence the Lord will pass upon you if you die in your sin. But we don't just see the sentence against the sinner in this portion. we also see the sign of the prisoner. Because here the psalmist says that this prisoner who is sentenced to death, he's groaning. Verse 20 says, to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Oh, here is one, he is sighing by reason of the sentence that has been appointed to him. He's groaning, he's sighing, he's crying, he's distressed and tormented with this position and condition that he finds himself in. Well, to be a prisoner is not something that's pleasant. To be someone who is put on death row, oh, that's not something to be happy about. And here we see that this prisoner on death row, he is crying because of his condition. Oh, he realizes there's no hope. There's no peace. There's no rest for me. My conscience is troubled by my situation. And he realizes he's going to die and he has no chance to escape. Oh, he's sighing. He's grieved by the things that he is facing. And maybe that speaks to someone here tonight. And you've heard the message of the gospel over and over and over again. And you know what you must do. You know what is facing you if you don't repent of your sin. And you're burdened by sin. And you're grieved in your soul. And you're sighing. You're groaning. You're crying beneath the burden upon your back. Or can't you think there of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and there how Pilgrim, he groaned beneath the weight of that burden upon his back. He wanted to know, how can I get rid of this burden? Maybe that speaks to someone here this evening. Maybe you're sighing and groaning over your sin. Well, this is a terrible position that this prisoner finds himself in. He thinks this is the end. There's no hope for me. There's no happiness. There's no peace to be found. Oh, does that not remind us of what the Lord says in Isaiah 57 and verse 21? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Sinners will not find peace and happiness and rest. The way of the wicked, it's a hard road to tread. Proverbs 15 verse 13 says, the way of transgressors is hard. Oh, you might think within yourself, well, I am happy at the minute. I have material possessions. I have all these things that I could want. Ah, but your conscience disagrees. Your conscience knows. Your conscience says, I need more. I'm not at peace. I want this and I want that. And you will go on and on and on wanting more and more and more. And you strive to find happiness. Oh, but there's a peace that passeth all understanding that you don't know. There's a peace that only the Lord can give. There's a rest that only God can give you from this burden upon your back. Oh, won't you come to Christ tonight? Won't you cast all your cares and worries upon the Lord? Won't you come to Him and seek forgiveness? But when you look at this passage before us, what is really the main reason for this prisoner's sighing? Because I'm sure if you or I went into McGabbery prison, we would be groaning about many things. I'm sure we'd be groaning about the beds. I'm sure we'd be groaning about the prison cells. I'm sure we'd be groaning about the company. I'm sure we would be groaning about so many different things. But the main reason this prisoner in this psalm is groaning is because of his condemnation. He realizes, I am going to die. I can't see any way that I can escape from this sentence that has been brought before me. And you know, there is a fear and a dread within every person of death. Every person who you speak to, I'm sure they will say, I'm afraid to die. There's a fear of the pain of death. There is the fear of the pain of parting from loved ones. There is the fear of many things. There's a fear of the finality of death. But oh, the greatest fear is the fear of judgment after death. Oh, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 15, he was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his position as the high priest in the covenant. And in verse 15 of that chapter, he says that Christ will deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, men in their natural state, they have this fear of death. They're fearful of death, they're fearful of dying, and they're living all their lifetime in bondage. They're trying to do their best, and they think, well, I haven't done everything yet, and I don't want to die yet because I don't know, are things going to be okay? But you know, there's a greater fear to be had than just fearful of physical death. There's a fear of spiritual death. There's the fear of eternal death. There's that place spoken of in Scripture where there'll be wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. That place where worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Oh, is that not something to be fearful of this evening? Is that not something that would make you sigh even more, the thought that you could be lost forever? Oh, the prisoner, they have no freedom, no liberty. But you know, if you die in your sin, there's no second chance. You can't be like Daniel Caliph and be in prison and try to escape and get out and through the gates. There's no second chances. This is the day of grace. There's no second chance. This is the appointed time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, such a prisoner, they are so burdened. They're sighing and they're groaning and they're crying by reason of their condition, of their condemnation. Couldn't you think there of that man of the Gadarenes? Mark chapter 5. We read of that man how day and night he was crying and cutting himself with stones. He was crying continually. Crying because of his state. Crying because he was in bondage. Crying because he was in chains. Crying because there seemed to be no hope for him. Oh, I wonder, are you crying like that man? He couldn't find any release in and of himself. These prisoners spoken of in Psalm 102, they couldn't save themselves. Neither can you. There is no hope in ourselves. Their only hope is found through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads us wonderfully on to consider our third point. We've seen the sentence against the prisoner, the sighing of the prisoner, but notice also the salvation for the prisoner. Because while this prisoner, he is groaning under the burden that he has upon him, and he knows that he is appointed to death, there is a wonderful salvation to be found. For read verse 19, speaking of the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Well, this prisoner, he thought he had no chance, no hope of escape. What a wonderful salvation this prisoner can find. Not in himself, but from the Lord. And there's three areas of this salvation which the psalmist brings to our attention in verse 19 and 20. And the first one is the fact that the Lord looks upon the sinner. Verse 19. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. The Lord looks down and sees sinners. Well, that's a tremendous thought. That word, or that phrase rather, looked down in verse 19. It has the idea of one gazing out through a window, looking down upon something below them. And there we have in this verse a wonderful picture of the Lord beholding from heaven, looking down upon this world and seeing sinful men and women. What wonderful mercy. It's a wonderful theme right throughout Scripture, just to look at those times when we read of the Lord looking down. The Lord looks down in mercy, but it's even heightened by the fact that the psalmist says he looks down from the height of his sanctuary. Oh, there he is, in the holy place. The one who knows no sin, can do no sin, there in his sanctuary he looks down upon sinners. What mercy. What love the Lord shows that he would be pleased to look upon us in our sin and in our wickedness and in our iniquity and be pleased to show us salvation. Oh, I'm sure if any of us looked upon some of the criminals in this land, we'd be like that Levite and priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We'd pass by. But remember that Good Samaritan, he looked upon the man. That's where it all started. He looked and he had compassion. And that is exactly what the Lord does today about sinners. He looks down from his sanctuary and beholds us in our sin. The Lord looks upon the sinner, but also the Lord listens to the sinner. Because verse 20 goes on to say that the Lord hears the groaning of the prisoner. After looking down upon this world, after looking down and seeing sinners, the Lord hears. Well, that's wonderful encouragement for us tonight. Maybe you're burdened. Maybe you feel the guilt and shame of your sin and you just don't know what to do. Will you not cry out to the Lord? Will you not ask the Lord for forgiveness? For here you know the Lord hears. The Lord listens to the cries of the sinner. Or can you not think of when Israel was in bondage in Egypt in the book of Exodus, and it says how the Lord heard the cries of the children of Israel by reason of their bondage. There the Lord, he looked up them and he heard their cries and he understood their state. Oh, the Lord sees you. If you cry out to the Lord, he will hear you too. Well, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that implies if you call, he will hear. Will you not cry out for forgiveness tonight? The Lord is so gracious and merciful that he hears us and he listens to us. But thirdly, think of this, the Lord looses the prisoner. Psalmist says, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Oh, the Lord grants deliverance. The Lord hears the cry of the sinner, and the Lord looses him from his bands. Oh, in fact, that verb to loose, it's actually even more strong than just to release. It has the sense of someone opening up gates, opening up a door to allow you to walk through. And that is what the Lord does for us. He opens up the gates of the prison and he brings us through them. Those gates cannot hold us. We read in Isaiah 61 verse 1 that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Then listen to this. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Well, that is what Christ can do for you tonight. He can open the prison. He can release you from your bounds. He can set you free. He can give you liberty. Oh, won't you come to him? Won't you cry out? He will hear you. He will release you from your bondage. Well, that's the theme of Scripture. Redemption simply means the release of the slave through the payment of a price. Christ has paid the price on the cross. He died, shed his precious blood, that you might go free. Will you not cry unto the Lord? You might feel so burdened, sighing and groaning within your soul. But if you cry to him, he will release you from your sin. May the Lord bless these words to all of our hearts, and may we meditate upon them even as the week goes on. Let's all pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that Thou art our Redeemer. Thou art one who has power to release from sin. Thou art able to forgive us our sin. Thou hast paid the price for our sin. And we can come to Thee in full assurance that if we cry unto Thee for deliverance, that Thou wilt hear our cries, that Thou wilt open up those gates and bring us through and bring us into Thy family. O Lord, maybe there is a soul here tonight and that's burdened, sighing and groaning beneath the burden of sin. O Lord, won't Thou convict them of their need of salvation? Won't Thou show them that Thou art mighty to save? Won't Thou have mercy tonight? O Lord, part us now with Thy fear, favor, and blessing. Be with us, we ask and pray. Save the lost, restore the backslidden, glorify Thy Son, we ask in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.